Well, hello and welcome everyone. Welcome to the Words, Women and Wisdom radio show, streaming live from BBS in California and syndicating to over 100 stations globally, including iHeartRadio, and also arriving now on the new Podopolo platform, which is a podcasting platform with gamification, which is really cool. I'm your show host, Yvonne E.L. Silva, and my mission is uplifting the spirit of humanity. And I do that by helping women in particular to flourish in business. I also am showcasing amazing women who have risen from typically some sort of tragedy to triumph and are now doing amazing things in the world and making a huge contribution both to them, their community, to their family, and often globally as well. So I'm thrilled today to be joined by Nazira Jamal. Hello, Nazira. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, Yvonne. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come on your show.
You are welcome. And it is a show which invites successful women, women entrepreneurs and leaders. As a female founder myself, an entrepreneur, certified executive coach and chartered HR professional, I've helped thousands of people to find excellent career choices, and in the past 10 years in particular, helping women through executive coaching to support them to excel in their leadership, and especially in evolving their confidence. That's my specialty. So today I work as that coach and mentor primarily to mission-inspired entrepreneurs and conscious leaders who are ready to flourish in business, and yet they struggle with self-doubt and being heard in a man's world. Guess you don't know any of those ladies. So I help them master their confidence, find their authentic voice so they can negotiate for what they want, make more sales, and grow their team. And then they can have a sustainable business, which is fun and successful. And I believe that with enhanced communication skills, women especially can authentically learn how to lead and engage their team. And they can also have balance as female entrepreneurs and be great role models for our kids. And I know that Nazira has a beautiful story to share. So today the focus is on creating impact without sacrificing profits. So a little bit about Nazira. I'm just going to put my glasses on here so I can make sure I read all the juicy parts. Nazira is raising a child with special needs for the past 30 years. And as a single parent and a low income earner at one point, she's now bought herself out of a life of poverty to achieving well over $50 million in sales volume over the last 10 years. Congratulations. Woohoo! So now she works with startups and impact-driven women entrepreneurs who are ready to optimize the business and maximize their results. She's also, as I am as well, just newly certifying as a bank IOS coach. So that is intelligence operating systems coach, to help her clients implement a specifically proven methodology to learn about buying behaviors so that clients can create massive impact in their business and increase their revenue up to 300%. So Nazira, welcome. I'm really keen to hear this story. We have something in common right away. I also have a special needs son. So I would love to hear about your story. And when I say your story, let's learn more about what it is that has driven you to being the amazing, successful real estate mogul that you are today.
Well, you know what? I think the story, and because you were talking about, usually, you know, it's from some adversity somebody has gone through that brings them out to be, you know, triumphant, right? Based on whatever challenges were brought up. So just quickly, I am recently a published author of a book called Life Reset. And I wrote that because I felt my story, not so much that I wanted to make it an autobiography, but make it so that people could see their own stories within the book. And I actually have strategies after each chapter where anybody reading the book can implement very quickly into their life these are the exact strategies that I used when I was going through all of my challenges. So just quickly, I'll tell you, I was married at a very young age and divorced soon thereafter. So within about 18 months of the marriage, I was divorced and I was pregnant at the time. So I delivered my baby and right away, of course, as a single mom now, the marriage did break down. And into the birth of my son, he was diagnosed with a rare condition at the age of, he started having seizures at the age of 4. With all of the things that happened, diagnosis didn't happen until he was about 7. So he was diagnosed with a very rare neurological condition called Landau-Kleffner syndrome, which is a seizure disorder, but it's controlled by medication. However, the brain is continuously seizing. So he lost a lot of the developmental gains that he had made. And by the time he was 10, 12, 14, he was digressing developmentally. And so now he's 30, as you mentioned, but he's probably at the age of about 7 or 8 cognitively. So I always tell people I'm raising a child who's 7 years old for life, you know, and he brings out the child in me. He's my teacher, you know, he teaches me about love and compassion and patience. And truly, he makes me a better person. So if there's anything that I can say is that I am who I am because of what he has taught me.
Yes.
Right? Yes. And
our greatest teachers. And I think that when we first connected to get this interview booked, part of that was because we had that instant connection, because I also have a special needs son. My son is 25 now. So he was starting to have seizures at a year old, and very quickly after testing, they realized that there was going to be some developmental impact for him. So he's now 25, a social age of about 7 as well. Other than his negotiating skills, somehow he's watched me as an entrepreneur, going out to, meet people in rental properties for my real estate investments and having those potential tenant interviews and negotiating those deals. And he's got these amazing skills to negotiate just about anything that he wants. And even the women in the store, when he was little, he would put his hand up for something and they'd say, oh, let me just give it to him. Let me buy it for him. He's so cute. So we had to work with that. And it definitely is. It is a challenge, even though he's living predominantly with his dad right now, going through some medication changes, which is quite an upset. So my heart goes out to you, but they certainly are our greatest teachers, aren't they?
Yep. And I guess that's the thing, right, is how you look at things. And for me, that's been a big learning. So when I was initially in this place where I was single mom, I was on social assistance because I didn't have the money. I was mentally not doing well because, I was self-diagnosed depressed. And then he was diagnosed, right? Mm-hmm. So it was very challenging. And at that time, I was looking at it from a very negative perspective. And as soon as I started to change how I looked at things, the things I looked at began to change. As Wayne Dyer, says that, right? Like, as soon as you change your perspective, you really begin to see things differently. And for me, that was a big learning curve. From when he was diagnosed to when I really figured out, wait a minute, I think I'm part of the problem.
It's so interesting because, we can have this perspective that we want to protect them because, they're likely to get teased in school. And we can also have a perspective of saying, you know what, this is such a gift. It gives me the opportunity to really expand my creativity. And now I have someone to advocate for, to go to bat for, just to be able to get him in the right school that really supported his needs was a challenge. I looked at schools, everything from the public school system right through to some private schools that were going to be about $12,000 a quarter Canadian, and they wouldn't even take him. So when they said special, I think they meant gifted, but not on the other end of the spectrum. So he ended up getting in a class with a group of 6 kids and 3 aides, teacher and 3 aides. So it was perfect for his maximum development. So we really do need to be great advocates, not not, I mean, every mom, I think, advocates for their kids, but certainly when there's special needs involved too. And I know that the challenges that can come up when you have a child that has seizures and you're out in public and, you know, there's a seizure happens and everyone around you is panicking and you have to be the, you know, the eye in the storm, right?
Yep. Yep. And you learn, right? As when you have the child and they're first diagnosed, you don't know, they don't come with a manual, right? So you do learn and you find a way that works and balance everything out. Because you also are human. So there's emotions running through us as well, right? Like when Shanabas, my son, had his first seizure, like it was fear. I was totally freaked out. Like I didn't know what was happening. He stopped breathing. And so as any parent with a child that even is ill, you know, you worry, right? Because that's part of one of our things as a parent. That's what we do. But you learn very quickly, I think, when you have a special needs child, of how to not only support them in their medical challenges, but how to support them in terms of life and school and friendships and all of those things that really matter for them having a life that's inclusive, right? So
yeah, and I think it also you know, it also helps when we look at it from the perspective of, you know, this child, this beautiful child, has been gifted to me for a reason. And you know, if I look at my belief that the universe never gives us things that we can't handle, then okay, so there are some days where I'm, you know, almost pulling my hair out and and saying, ah, I'm not sure I have the skills and I'm equipped to deal with this today. However, you always find a way through. So that in itself, I know, has created a ton of resilience, a ton of tenacity. So I'm so grateful that you've put this down in your Life Reset book. So I have to learn more about that as well. So what happened after that then?
So once he was diagnosed, and like I said, I went through challenging times based on my own mindset. And I think that was the biggest roadblock. Now hindsight is 20/20, and I can look back saying, what was that thing that held me back? Like I was resisting my own mindset because I felt like I was, you know, somebody was punishing me, that's why this was happening. And that's why he was being challenged, is because I did something wrong and I'm now going to suffer those consequences. So there was a big mindset thing that had to happen. However, I didn't know that then, right? So what I do realize is that somehow intuitively, while I was in the hospitals on months on end with him, I do realize that I was doing something intuitively that really brought me out of that chaos, which was I was doing visualizations. I would close my eyes and just dream a different life because I didn't like the life I was in. And so I was just basically, every time he would be sleeping, I would close my eyes and I would visualize something else, meaning I would have a job, because at this point, you know, I was on social assistance and I wasn't able to work because he needed me so much, and I didn't have any support in terms of his father. So so I did these visualizations, like I would have a job and I had a car and we were traveling and he was healthier. And lo and behold, you know, it didn't happen right away, but I noticed within a 3-year period, I was working. I had a car, I had a beautiful home, which I owned, and I wasn't renting, I wasn't living with my parents anymore. So there was a lot that happened with those things that I started to do, which I didn't know how I was doing them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Until I could later on in life put a name to that, which I was really tapping into the law of attraction and right. Mindset, and how was I able to change that relatively quickly?
Yeah, it is incredible. One of my recent guests was actually Natalie Ledwell with Mind Movies, which is, as many of the listeners know, is, you know, the world's number one visualization tool. And it's really powerful when you have the visualizations, and then even more so when you add visual impact and also music to really heighten the emotion of stepping right into that. So if you're listening, Natalie, thanks for doing the work that you do in the world as well. So visualization, so that's one of your first insights. What else would you say you've learned along the way?
So in my book, I talk about emotions. I'm a highly sensitive person, and, you know, emotions for most of us, you know, run high as women, I find, you know. So one of those things, what I write in my book about, is I used emotions as my GPS. And what I mean by that is I looked at my emotions, and I actually continue to do this because it is my compass. It tells me how far I am from the source, right? Whatever that is for me, which is, you know, I believe in God and the universe, that is a guiding light for me. So I believe that every time I'm in a place of joy and lightheartedness and compassion and love, I'm closest to source and I feel very aligned with that. But when I'm feeling frightful or resentful, or there's some sort of anger that's coming up, or any kind of the negative feelings, or the, you know, I call them dark emotions, I know I'm furthest from source. And so I really am very conscious of bringing my conscious level back to alignment, because I know that once I tap into those emotions, my vibration changes, which means I'm attracting things at a different vibration. Whereas when I'm in the negative side, I'm attracting things that are at that lower level. And then I know exactly how I've attracted that into my life.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's those that GPS that I really keep a very close eye on as to where am I for alignment.
Yeah. Well, certainly we've got this, you know, the spectrum, right? And so low vibrational energy is all associated with ego. And then the higher vibration is obviously the ultimate is love. And somewhere in between, we're on that scale, depending on what's going on in our day. And the more conscious and aware we can become, the easier it is to catch ourselves and stop and refresh and reset, as you call it, to be able to step into more positive energy and higher vibrations. So sounds like a great book. I can't wait to pick it up. Okay. So you had a fairly normal childhood, right? It was more when your son arrived that things started to really start to expand your awareness and your consciousness?
You know what? I can't say that I had a very normal childhood, only because we were refugees in a war-torn country where we were actually asked to evict. And I was very young, so I don't have a lot of memory of the country that I'm from, which is East Africa. But we were basically thrown out of the country. My father had to kind of take five kids onto a plane within about 24 hours. And so I remember the tension in the family, or the, you know, the fact that everybody was struggling. And I don't have a lot of memory from that. But I do believe that, you know, there was things that happened in my childhood that, you know, contributed to my immense feeling of depression when my life started to really happen, which was when I got married and had a baby. And so because I hadn't dealt with any of the other situations, it just made it magnified it, I believe, that, you know, when I came to it, it was much larger, you know, that I had to really go through. Yeah. So yeah, I think that was the main thing, is that was my assessment of things, that I had to deal with all of it now at one go.
Yeah, it's so interesting, you know, when you really want to understand something. I was talking with author David Irvine last week on my Women in Wisdom online business book club, and we were talking about this topic of authenticity and his book, Becoming Real, The Journey to Authenticity. And he was saying, you know, that we know this, but it's not the easy things that you go through. It's when you really start to explore and write a book, then you realize that it's the things that we have to put the spotlight on, that we have to work on, that we have to work through, which helps us build out our authenticity. So we really are coming to the table as whole beings, and you can't be a leader unless you've gone through that authentic evolution and growth personally yourself. Well, not a great leader anyways.
Yeah,
so absolutely. So interesting. So the other things that you learned writing the book, because of course, as I said, if you want to learn something really deeply, write a book about it, because that's when the research goes deep. What else did you learn?
Well, it was very cathartic, I think, to write the book in terms of writing the actual story of what was happening or what had happened, and to see the transformation through those life stories. As I was sharing with my reader in the book, you know, of this young person having a baby and being a single mom and not having the money, and transforming that and all the steps it took to get to a point where, you know, business owner and financial freedom and, you know, home. And in between that, you know, I have to say I went through two divorces, right? So this is my third marriage, and it was really coming to the understanding and the knowledge that, you know, I had to be somebody who I wanted, like the person I attracted was who I was in vibration, right? So my marriages didn't work because I was in a low vibrating place at those times in my life. And I was attracting people with the same sorts of difficulties. And then when I worked on myself for true transformation to occur, I attracted who I became in the process, which was I loved myself. And then I attracted love all around me from everywhere, you know? And so I think that in the book is very prevalent at the end of it, you know, where to say that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And to go through the transformation journey is part of that learning.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of the reason for doing these interviews, because, you know, there are so many women, especially right now, that have been thrown into chaos. Because, you know, if they have school age kids at home, I mean, that in itself has been a challenge over the last little while. And that's not taken into account that women are the biggest decision makers in anything to do with running the household. So all of a sudden, people aren't going out to work, they're all at home. All of those decisions come back and compound on us.
Right.
Right. And then the other piece is about finances. We know that women are the ones who make typically, you know, 65 to 85% of the household income choices. And so for us, it's really important that we do have that sense of sanity, that inner strength to be able to lead the household during times of chaos. And we've certainly had enough interesting times of challenge and chaos going on in the world recently. So
absolutely.
What do you think led to your rise to success? Because, you know, to go from as you describe, a low income earner who was not living in her own place to being in the space where you are now, that is a massive leap. So tell me more about what you learned on your rise to success.
Well, there's two things, right? And I kind of alluded to it by saying that I had to become who I wanted to attract and what I wanted to attract. So that all came from this place of finding love for oneself, right? For myself. I had to find that connection to loving me and loving all of the things about me, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because it was this point of pivoting where I felt like I had to figure out who I was. But the other main thing, and I write this in my book, that really changed everything was this whole notion of forgiveness. I write a chapter on it because that changed my life, right? The one thing is to forgive oneself for all of those things that we hold ourselves accountable for, the things that we blame ourselves for, all of the things that we think that we could have done this, should have done that. But then the other side of it was, because I was married at a young age and I really held grievances against my mother-in-law, like I really felt like she really imposed a lot of emotional, you know, abuse, if I want to call it that word, or just very negative, right? But I held everything that I was going through, I held her accountable for that. And until I actually let it go, I actually forgave her, my life couldn't have changed. And as soon as I did that, everything began to be more clear. I was attracting more things. Like all of a sudden, so much abundance was coming my way that I didn't know, like, oh my goodness. But as I did my reflection work, I knew forgiveness was the key to that freedom, to attaining manifestation. So I do teach a course on manifestation. And I really tell people, if there's something that you're not getting, there's something you are not forgiving. And this journey has to happen.
Just had a little internet blip there. You're talking about your mother-in-law and then the line cut out. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. So I'll just repeat that. But so my grievance was against my mother-in-law. I really felt that she was the one who ruined my life, basically, right? Because of all of the things that happened. And then for me to come home and be pregnant, home meaning I was married to a man in America. So I had to come home to Canada. And I held her accountable for all the troubles that I was going through. And I teach a manifestation course, as I was mentioning, that I teach people that, you know, in order, if there's something you're not manifesting, if something is not coming your way, it's something because you're not forgiving something or someone or yourself. That is one of those things that holds you back from manifesting quickly. And so if you can attain this level of inward journey to forgive yourself and things that have happened to you, and others who may have, where you have feelings of that they've done something to you, the abundance flows as soon as you're able to let that go. And mm-hmm. it's powerful. It's been an immense transformation for me.
It is super powerful. And I remember interviewing, actually it was probably at least a year ago now, another speaker and author, Annette Stanwyck, who had written about forgiveness, forgiving her brother's murderer. And she's now out talking to convicts in prisons and talking about this whole topic of forgiveness. Super, super powerful. Wow, what great concepts are in your book. Is there any more gems?
Well, in the book I talk, so what I did was I wrote the book from a mind, body, soul, or spirit perspective, because for me, I believe that you have to tend to all of them. If you just tend to your body, meaning health and wellness and exercise, and you leave the other two, you're actually going to be a little off balance or a lot off balance. And right. So I wrote the book from that perspective of how do you tend to your mind, your body, and your spirit or your soul. Right. And so in there, you know, I talk about the different strategies that you can quickly put into your routine. It's not like you have to read the book for weeks on end. It's a very simple read. Strategies are very, very simple that you can really implement quickly and start seeing results right away. Because this is what I learned. I learned it over, of course, you know, 25 years in terms of those strategies. But now that I've got it in a book form, I feel like people can quickly get into the book and say, okay, you know what? I know I can add this to my daily routine, or I could do this for my, you know, exercise routine, whatever that is, and make things work for them quickly.
Yeah. And who were some of your greatest teachers, other than obviously your son?
Well, my father's been a big, he's passed away now, but he has been my guiding light in the entire way, you know, even while I was pregnant. And as a Muslim, back 30 years ago, divorce was not something that was looked on very favorably. You know, like, I mean, not that it is now, but in our culture and religion, it was a no-no. So I was one of the first from, and my father was a very prominent man in our mosque. And so it was a very, I think, a tough pill, you know, but he was such a honorable man that he held me higher than what the community was going to say about what was happening. And he just gave me this advice, you know, and we didn't know that my son was going to have any kind of challenges, but I was pregnant. And he said to me, you know, your commitment now is to God, that you're going to raise this child. Yes, you don't have, there's no father in the picture, but you're going to raise him and you're going to be answerable, you know, to that higher power, that higher being, and live your life with integrity and raise him that way. So he was really instrumental. And then he got me into the entrepreneurial world, because when I did get my first job, I was working as a licensing officer for a home childcare program, but I was making very little money. And he said to me, you know, if you want to raise this boy on your own, you're going to need way more money, resources, you know, as he gets older, he needed more things. And yep. He started me on the real estate journey. And he said, go get your license and I know you can do this. So I was the first in the family to actually start something on my own and become very good at it.
So. Excellent. So what kind of homes are you typically selling?
I do residential in the Toronto GTA area. Yeah.
Okay. And you also are training realtors now and doing some work to help expand and share your wisdom.
Yeah. So what I did was I became a Bank IOS, as you said, coach. The reason is because the methodology is so powerful that already, you know, I've started to implement the methodology in my own business. But as a coach, I want to be able to help others, realtors, as well as female entrepreneurs, business owners, because I believe this can help, depending on whatever you're doing. If you are an entrepreneur, you could really scale your business. You can understand your clients better. So now my goal is, of course, real estate, because I do that anyways, but to add the coaching component, because I do feel like what Nelson Mandela said, you know, is teach one, be one, teach one, right? So I want to be able to give this information for others that they can shorten their learning curve and really grow their businesses.
Yeah. Well, it certainly is so interesting as we've been going through the course. We're both in the same group together. Yeah. Interesting to hear the perspectives as we dive into some of the content. So for those who are not familiar yet with that program, it's looking at six different intelligences. So it's looking at personal intelligence, which is all about the personality types and a really cool assessment tool looking at business intelligence and the speed of sales and a velocity equation, looking at spiritual intelligence, which is, you know, where you can hear the common threads between Nazira's thinking about positive energy and vibrations and bringing in a spiritual element into your business. It's not just about making money, to also bring in emotional intelligence, which is something that I've been working with as well for the last 7 or 8 years as well. And I'm missing two. What are the other two? I'm missing two. Business, personality, sales intelligence, spiritual intelligence, emotional intelligence, and
oh my goodness.
One more. We'll figure it out. Yeah. So it's a really
artificial intelligence. I just want
artificial to artificial intelligence. I'm like, oh there we go. God.
Yeah.
It's a really deep scientifically proven concept of working with these different personality types and then bringing that to life through different other intelligences in business. So yeah, we're super, super excited, both of us, about getting out in the world and helping more women entrepreneurs in particular. We have both have a passion for mission-inspired women entrepreneurs to actually be expanding their success in business. So I'm based in Calgary, you're based in Toronto. We're going to be working with different markets, and yet we already have so much in common, which is really cool.
I think that's a really interesting thing, right? Like, even though we're in the same group, we have an abundant mindset, and that, you know, that we can all help. I mean, there's so many people that we could help. And I think that helps entrepreneurs realize that, you know, to have that kind of mindset, that there is so much abundance out there, we can all work together and make that difference.
Yeah. I mean, you've been working extensively in real estate. You have your license. I dabbled as a real estate investor. I chose not to go get a license because I felt at that point in time that was actually going to restrict me from doing some of the kinds of, you know, home ownership deals that I wanted to do. And yet it wasn't my passion. You know, I used up my money, and then I just didn't have the same drive to go out and start using other people or asking other people for investment money and running it as an investment business. And I don't really enjoy that much working with the numbers either. So, I mean, I run a business, and yet working with other people's money and their numbers, yeah, it used to get me just hot under the collar. So it's interesting to see how we're both bringing very different gifts to the market, even though there is that commonality with kids, mothers, this course. And then the mission inspired piece, I believe that, you know, Viktor Frankl, I think he had it dead on when he did his work in the concentration camp, trying to basically stay sane and trying to think through, you know, man's search for meaning was his book. What is the purpose of a meaningful life? Like, what is that all about? What contributes to it? And coming up with one of his three concepts, that we have to have a mission or a purpose that's bigger than just ourselves. That piece really resonated for me. And certainly over the last few years, those business owners that I know have a social enterprise element in their business are flourishing right now. I mean, that's, you know, the original Tom Shoes, buy one, give one. When I started putting my book together, I realized very quickly that I wasn't going to go through a traditional publishing house because the money was not there to be able to donate one for every copy sold to a women's shelter foundation or not-for-profit, which is what I do. So Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is my book. If you decide that you're intrigued to learn more about that, I think Nazira might be having a gift for us at the end. And certainly my gift as well is to pick up a 3-chapter excerpt at least, which is a free gift that's on my website right now at wordswomenandwisdom.com. So what else would you like to share about how some of these experiences have shaped your wisdom when it comes to the resilience of women?
Well, I think the whole idea is to connect to who you are. And I think, you know, we've touched on it on so many different angles, is to, when you feel like you want, there is a mission, there's something that you want to do, or there's something that you have to, that's calling you, right? Is to follow that path, right? Sometimes I think we can get sidetracked and doing other things and become robotic in our movements. But I really believe that, you know, for those people who have that in them within themselves and have that kind of calling, to follow that path and find their voice in there, you know, because I think COVID-19 has helped a lot of people stop. It was like a reset, just like my book, you know, Life Reset. This was a true global reset, right? Of allowing people to just stop. And it's reflection, it's leadership. It's about, you know, not sort of saying, well, what am I going to be able to do? I'm only one person, but it starts with one, you know, and we can all make a difference. And as women, I think we as women are very powerful. And then when we come together, we have collective powerfulness that really resonates. And so I think that's very, very important, especially at times like this, is to come together and connect.
Right. Was there a particular spark or a particular event that triggered you saying, you know what, I'm going to write this, I'm going to put this in a book?
You know, it's funny. Since I was 8, I used to have books about writing a book. You know, how do you write a book? And I think a lot of people have, you know, saying, oh, someday I'll write a book. But people used to say to me, you know, as I was in real estate and my clients, and they're like, you should write a book. Like, seriously, you need to write your story. And so one day, as I put it out there that, yeah, you know what, I think I will write a book one of these days. And I happened to open my computer and there was an invitation for a boot camp, a writer's boot camp. And so I went. So it was, again, following that calling, right? And for me, it wasn't one thing that prompted it. I think it was over life experiences and kept hearing, write a book, write a book. And at one point, I have to say, where it was just, wasn't the right to write the book for the glory of writing a book. It was, how can it help others? How can I take my story and make it so that others can be helped by it? And maybe shorten their curve in learning it, right? I felt very empowered. And I'm still, you know, I have to tell you something quickly, is my name in Arabic, it's Nasira, but what it means is helper. And I now kind of look at what I'm doing with my life and how I am showing up is really in that position of helping others. And I'm kind of feeling very proud that my father named me this because I'm able to live up to my name.
Well, it's so intriguing when we see things coming full circle and synchronicity is just abounding. I had about 5 years ago, I had ended up burning out because I was not working with the type of clients that nurture my soul. I was doing a lot of large coaching contracts, working with oil and gas firms in Calgary. And one particular incident with a male VP where I'd done some work for him, really soured my thinking about what it was I was doing. And that was sort of the final straw of doing a harassment investigation. And then it led to me putting together this, you know, 25-page report, which barely looked at and then dismissed and said, you know, well, thank you very much. We've decided we're going to go in this direction, completely the opposite to what my professional recommendation as a chartered HR professional, as well as a coach, was about the situation, and decided that was it. That was my final straw. I felt like I'd been kicked in the belly again, and took 3 months off and did a lot of reflecting and soul searching and utilizing some of the learnings I'd received when I was working with global talent management firm Right Management, helping to identify, you know, where is my next career? What have I really enjoyed in the past? Where are the highlights, the things that light me up that I'm passionate and excited about? And putting together some thinking around, you know what, my best marks in school were always around English. If I look around my house, you know, it's full of different words of different things. And deciding at that point, yeah, I'm looking at my goals list, I don't call it a bucket list anymore, my goals list. And, you know, write a best-selling book was on there. It was like, what have I done towards that? Nothing. So starting to think about, you know, what is it that I really want to make sure is realized from all of the coaching that I have done over the past 10 years? And where have there been such great successes? I want to write about those. And that's where Words, Women, and Wisdom came through. And then also the other part is, I didn't have a great upbringing. I didn't have a great father like you did. Mine was a PTSD father who came back from the war, bullet in Dunkirk, and a very angry man. And he literally drained the dignity right out of my mom. So I was watching my mom becoming this very, very frail, fragile, quiet little mouse, and swore that I was never going to be that person. And yeah, that was my spark for writing my book. So it's so interesting. And I love the fact that you've got some action items in there. I chose to take that format as well, write about it and then have an action item for each of the 40 different words and word concepts in the book. So what's coming up next for you, and how can we support you?
Well, I do have my first session coming up in terms of coaching women through these six intelligences, as we talked about, and helping them understand their clients and how they can serve best in communicating with them and getting to do their business in a way better fashion, where they are not, you know, being drained by their business. So, you know, work more effectively, work smarter, not harder. So I want to be able to share that with them. So my course is starting on July the 23rd. So that would be something that I, you know, would love for it to be out there, you know, for those people that would be interested. By all means, you know, they can get a hold of me.
So where is the best place to learn more about that? Is there a web page or email, or how would you like them?
There is some information on my website. So if you went to www.nasirajamal.com or www.liferesetacademy.com, there's information on there under services, and the bank program is on that page as well. And you can always contact me as well directly via email if anybody had questions.
Okay. So www.nasirajamal.com, N-A-S-I-R-A dot, sorry, not a dot, nasirajamal, J-A-M-A-L.com.
I would say that's the only website. Yeah, just that one would be best probably.
That would be the best one? Yeah. Okay, great. Excellent. So are there any other little nuggets of wisdom that you'd like to share as we start to wrap up?
Just one last thing. So I know when I said to you about forgiveness being really one of the key things for what changed my life. But for anybody that's interested, if you know what Ho'oponopono is, if you've practiced it, I just highly recommend people to just put that into their daily practice, because it does change the vibration of what we're doing day to day. And subconsciously, it does change our neural pathway. So for those of you who are listening, I would really highly recommend looking up Ho'oponopono as one of those activities that you include in your daily activities.
Okay. Now, not everybody knows how to spell it. So did you want to either spell it out or just talk about...
Well, let me just give you the things that you would do when you're doing a Ho'oponopono. Basically, you want to just either, if it's for yourself, if it's for someone else in terms of that you want to forgive, or if it's just out to the universe for anything that impedes you, you basically want to say these four statements, and you want to do a repetitious, almost like a mantra. So what you want to say is, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, and I thank you. Those are the four statements that you want to repeat, and you want to basically just do that all day at any time, whether you're driving at a red light, whether you're sitting down doing journaling, however it is that you put it into your life or your day practices, it will change the makeup of how this all works in your subconscious.
Yeah, some amazing insights. And, you know, certainly as you're speaking, you know, a lot of what you're sharing is so resonating from, you know, from different experiences that I've also had. And then also a couple of things, you know, with the, I can never even pronounce it without getting tongue-tied. Ho'oponopono. And Deborah Poneman was somebody I just interviewed a couple of weeks ago as well. And I know it's come up in her program as well. So if you are also curious about what we shared with the Bank IOS, you can also get your own personality style test as well. And it's something you can do in 90 seconds to understand your preferred communication style and also the style of others. And you can go to this site, is HTTPS, /bit.ly.com. Sorry, bit.ly, and then 3, F like Fred, 8, P like Peter, as a capital P, a lowercase s, a capital J like Jack, and a capital U like Uncle. So I'll put that post in the show notes as well. So thank you, Nazira, for sharing some insights. And they can get a copy of your book from your website as well?
They can get it on Amazon.com. Amazon.ca has it as well.
Okay, super. Well, it's been a pleasure learning more about you, learning more about the amazing journey you've been on and your kindness in sharing this set of learnings in your book. I wish you every success with your book and with your upcoming class as well. And I know that there are a number of things that are all fitting so synchronistically together that you're going to be ultra successful using this new program as well. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Yvonne, for having me. I really appreciate it.
You are welcome. So have a beautiful week, everybody. And don't forget, tap into Nazira's book, Life Reset, and also connect at nazirajamal.com. And stay in touch if you would like to join the Women in Wisdom VIP community by connecting on my website, Words, Women, and spelled out A-N-D, wisdom.com, and clicking to, on the red box to download a free 3-chapter excerpt of Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. Have a beautiful day, everybody, and bye for now.